This is an adult podcast made for adults by adults. Special guest Terry Trailer Man Terrence joins today's show. Also, sound the bad grandson gong. Walter does not know any of his grandparents' names. And Beatle fans, you guys can have this one. The Beatles do make better music than Barney the Dinosaur. This is Fake Film Fans.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fake Film Fans. I want to thank everyone for listening in. I'm Suede Best, and I am every person ever who's been to Woodstock.
That's crazy, because I'm Walter, and I'm the person who hasn't said happy birthday to our birthday boy on the podcast yet. Oh, shit! So, yeah, it's Suede's birthday week.
Well, I don't really like my birthday. It makes me kind of stressed out a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. Birthdays are weird. I think really the only birthday you and I ever celebrated together, like, super hard, was my 21st birthday.
I didn't realize we did anything special for anyone's birthdays, honestly.
Now, for my 21st, my little brother came, and we bought two giant bottles of Kentucky Gentleman and 2 30 racks of beer,
Went hard. It was one of those days where we just pretended it was a special occasion.
Yeah, to get super drunk.
We did celebrate Jesus Christ's birthday, too.
I would celebrate Christmas by the birth of Christ by whipping myself with a guitar string, until my back was covered in scars and rips and slices.
Don't you think that's a little bit of cultural appropriation?
It's also the Catholics, bro! That's my dear sweet daddy,
okay,
my dear sweet
Catholic
daddy. Catholic
appropriation, whatever you want to fucking call it.
Bitch, I am Catholic. I'm Catholic and Jewish. I got guilt from both ends.
Is Catholicism inherited the same way people treat Judaism?
I got the Catholic baptism. They dunked me in the water when I was a wee little peanut.
Yeah, I always thought baptizing a baby is, like, super fucked up. Because baptism looks like one of the most fucking fun things you can do as an adult. And you're stripping the right to have fun. It's like making a baby go on a roller coaster and telling the baby, oh, no more roller coasters for the rest of your entire life.
You know why they do that, right? There's like a reason why you baptize a baby.
Because they don't want people to have fun.
No, dude, the Catholic Church is anti-fun, that is true. No, it's because, like, if the baby dies, it can't, like, do all the Jesus stuff, and so it goes to hell. Because it can't, like, say prayer or anything like that. But if you baptize it and it dies, it still gets to go to heaven. You got to get it in early before it can, like, say, I'm down with Jesus.
I mean, that makes sense, but it also sounds like they should just get good.
Fucking babies.
Can't keep their children alive.
That's right. What about the babies? They should know how to say that they're down with Jesus, these fucking lazy babies.
That's true, true. Let's blame the babies, actually. I don't want to blame the parents. Get good,
Every
babies!
Time you see a baby, look at it and say, you don't love Jesus as much as I do.
All right, so actually, before I broke out the surprise for you, we were going to talk about haircuts. Which I think is a very interesting thing because I have a lot of strong opinions on haircuts. And apparently you do too, even though I feel like most of the times you take haircuts, you don't take them.
What does the statement that you just said mean?
If you come out of the haircut where your hair looks like it's been non-changed, that's not a haircut.
I think what Walter's getting at is that I don't get haircuts very often. And for a very long time, my hair was like at my shoulder blade.
Don't you think it's funny that in the old days, the body had a self-cutting hair system?
Elaborate, please.
Well, okay, sorry, yeah. Well,
do you mean when dogs' hairs fall out?
No, I'm saying, like, obviously shoulder blades were named from history. The fact they called them shoulder blades and we don't have blades in our shoulders anymore must just mean our body realized it doesn't need blades over evolution. And I'm guessing it's because we invented hair cutters.
Okay, Walter, this is why you are dumb and smoking crack and are totally wrong. The term shoulder blade is, like, been translated a bunch of times. The word shoulder actually comes from the word shield in Old Germanic. And it was first used, like, in the, like, 16th century, translated from Latin. So it's never been a blade. If anything, it's been a shield. It's never been a blade. You can't cut your hair with a shield. You dumbass.
Okay.
I just recently got it cut by Celine, actually. She cut it for me, and I looked like Lord Farquaad. It was a very bad look.
I did not think it was that bad.
I did. I thought I looked like Lord Farquaad, and that's not allowed. So I got it cut even shorter, and it still didn't look quite right. I went to the beauty supply store and asked them what I could do with my hair, and they were like, you should just slick it back. So I've been slicking it back like a fucking, like, 60s greaser, just, like, slicking it back, real douchey slick back haircut. And I'm like, I feel so fucking powerful, dude. I feel like I'm ready to take on the world. I've been trying to flirt with customers, like, very subtly now with my new sweet haircut.
I think the reason why you like the slick back hair so much is because you tend to like being non-conforming. So you want your haircut to be a little off. At the same time, it's almost, like, more comfortable if you can do it actively rather than, like, have it put onto you.
Well, exactly. No, you're totally right. I don't want to look like a fucking normie with, like, the fucking Nazi fade haircut. Celine keeps trying to part my hair in the middle whenever we hang out, and I'm like, fucking stop it. Fucking, I look terrible. I like a little bit of an edgy haircut. You know, when I have my long hair, I feel like pretty death metal. You know, you can headbang. You can, you know, feel like a badass. My short hair, though, with the slick back, I'm digging it. I'm doing some fun stuff with it.
Yeah, this is, like, the first time I've seen Suede have short hair. And even then, you know me, like, for me, short hair is bald.
Yeah, we used to give you haircuts. We would just, like, go outside somewhere, and, like, someone had an electric buzzer, and we would just buzz your head as short as we could.
Yes. Well, because this is what I usually do. I usually let my hair grow up to my shoulders, and then I shave myself bald. One, I do think it's healthier for hair. I don't know if that's fucked up, but for some reason in my head, I think if you cut off all your hair, it makes your hair continually last longer.
Wait, are you saying that you have to, like, cull the hair to make it stronger? Like, you have to, like, beat it down so it, like, it has, like, the force to return?
Yeah, that is something that I just think is, like, some fucking theory thing in my body that makes me feel good.
You're a scientist of yourself. You're a genius. You're a philosopher.
That's fair.
You are the hair wizard.
I'd rather be a hair witch, because witches are hotter. Wizards tend to have white, balding hair.
Yeah, but they do have way sweeter beards than witches.
The thing that I like about cutting my hair completely bald is that you get the stages. So you get the first stage where you come out and everyone's like, oh my god, he's bald. And no matter how many fucking times I do it, everyone around me still reacts like it's like the craziest thing ever. And then they react that I'm bald. And then everyone around them who has first time seen me cut my hair like that, they all think I did the first time. All I mean is, like, you get through all the stages. And I always have a stage where, like, right before it gets too long, in my opinion, I look the best. But it doesn't matter because I know I'm going to reach the time where I look like a scraggly mess with too much hair. So it helps you enjoy the phases of haircuts more. However I say it, I don't know. I feel like it helps me enjoy myself more. Whenever I look in the mirror and I see a journey of hair growing, I don't know. It's very peaceful for me. One more comment about the haircuts, though. I used to be very scared of changing my hair. Like, I was so fucking scared. So I would only get trims. You know, maybe that's why I like the bald thing today, too. Because I'm actually, like, kind of annoyed at my young self for being so unconfident about my hairstyle. And right now, I'm a little pudgy and a little fat. But I used to be way more pudgy and a little fat, where my neck had double necks. You know what I mean? Triple neck.
Neck. Oh, yeah.
Triple throat. No, not neck.
Chin. It's chin. It's chin.
No, there's a chin roll and a throat roll. I swear to God. Because I had both.
I think, okay. So you were super chunko.
I was super chunko, but I was so scared of cutting my hair off. And that was, like, the only position that I felt comfortable in with my hair. And I think I have a bit of resent towards my younger self for being such a loser.
Well, I mean, I get that, though. I don't shave my head because the way I carry weight on my body, if I shave my head, I look like Pugsley from the Addams Family. Like, it's just, like, not a good look on my body type. Or what is his name? One of the Three Stooges, the bald one. When I shave my head, it's bad.
like the main lead from Modern Baseball.
Yeah, Jesus. I already look like the fucking lead from Modern Baseball. It's been 3 long years since I think about you every day. Sometimes for hours, sometimes in passing. Dude, I've been listening to that fucking... I've been going hard on some Modern Baseball.
There was this one time. I wanted to do something a little different. So this is what I said to my barber. I said, oh, you can let one side be a tiny bit long.
Like an anime boy? Like some sort of Sasuke Uchiha?
Exactly. You're right. That's what I wanted. The problem is, my eyes are trash as fuck. And when I cut my hair, I take off my glasses.
I'm the same way, by the way. I've run into the same problem.
More. My eyes are worse than yours, though. Like, I have not met many people who have worse eyes than me.
Well, how far can you see in front of you? Because I'm rocking a solid 2 inches.
Can you do LASIK?
I don't think so.
Okay, me neither.
Bring it on. Bring it on. My eyes are worse than yours.
Can you wear contacts?
Yeah, I can wear contacts. I can't. Oh, wow. Look here. The guardian of bad eyes. Oh,
I am the king. I am the king.
You're the king. He's the lord. He's the king. He's the ultimate eyeball. You know
that scene where Kill Bill, where that Uma Thurman pops up that girl's eyeballs? I wonder when she popped up my eyeball would look like a triangle. Wouldn't that be cool, actually?
No, it'd be horrifying.
Like Junji
Ito. It'd be nightmarish. Yeah, like Junji Ito triangle eyeballs. Yeah. Nightmarish.
Yeah, so I asked for a parting of my hair, and I put it back my glasses on, and fucking, it's like an AFI, you know AFI, the band?
Yeah,
it's that.
You were doing some fucking Black Veil Brides shit.
Exactly. Huh? You were exactly on some fucking like that, and I was like, no, cut it off.
No, dude, that shit's rough. Like, the undercut, I know one of our listeners, I play D&D with them, and she's great, but she's gonna get an undercut, and I'm gonna make fun of her mercilessly when she does it. Shout out to Skitter. That's not her name, but that's the character she plays in our D&D game. So I have a question for you. Have you ever dyed your hair?
No.
It's never been blue?
No.
Okay, so last week I was talking about when I saw a guy hanging out with your girlfriend and the Kentucky Fried Chicken lady, and I was talking about how I was smoking a cigarette, and they like gave me shit, and I said you were there. I forgot to mention that person had blue hair. So you really have never had blue hair?
No.
Okay, so the first time I met you, it might have been a different Asian person. I was just being racist, for the record.
Oh my god, you told that story so many times that I've been the subject of it, and it just made me feel guilty. I felt guilty that I didn't smoke cigarettes with you the first time we fucking met, and I mentioned it might have been a different Asian, and you said it was not possible.
It was not possible, but then I was thinking about it, and I was like, he did have blue hair. That'll be how I'll be able to prove it. Because you got me thinking about it. I was like, what if it wasn't Walter? I don't know.
what about it looked like me?
Dude, I don't know. I just remember seeing a little smiling face. And I remember thinking, this little nerd's got a wonderful little cutie boy face.
Smiles and small eyes. Like, everyone thinks they can distinguish an Asian smile and small eyes. They can't. It's all fucked up.
He looked like sad and like nervous and like... not nervous, but just like tired. Like, he looked like the energy. He had the face that you had when you used to hang out with your ex. It was that face. I'd be like, oh yeah, there it is. There's the, oh my god, I'm hanging out with my stressful girlfriend, and then turn into my stressful ex-girlfriend. Yeah,
which is completely just a face that you made up in your head. Like, yeah, you can say I recognize this, but if someone asked you to fucking draw that face, it would be impossible.
I mean, I would have just drawn your face. I would have just drawn your face and said, this is who it is.
Exactly! That's not even racist. That's just fucking emotional. There's the only person I know who's sad is Walter. Therefore, no, every sad human being looks like Walter.
I am the racist. I'm the bigot. And so, as apology, Walter, if I could give you any haircut, I would want you to have a ponytail, like I used to wear.
I'm not against it, honestly, one day, but I don't know how you would give it to me. Like, if I was bald, you would just be like, get a fucking ponytail, and then do a weird little chant, hello, 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 get a fucking ponytail.
I would pull the hairs. I would pull them, but not out, just pull them so to encourage their growth. You know, like, I would pull them so they'd come out faster.
Is that actually true? I've also heard totally. That theory. Okay.
No, dude, that's 100% bullshit. I just completely made that up. What the fuck is wrong with you?
The reason why I believed in it is because someone has said, like, if you keep shaving, your mustache goes out more.
Oh, I have heard that. I don't think that's true, but I've heard that.
Wait, I was thinking, I don't want to roast you too hard, because, I mean, no, there's no way. I was about to say, maybe I was too drunk and let them dye my hair once and then quickly covered
no.
it.
No. You would remember if you had blue hair. You would remember if you had blue hair.
Well, you know, like, when you're first getting to Goucher, everyone wants to give you a fucking stick and poke.
Dude, not me. I think people were freaked out by me because I wore a trench coat and would take cigarette butts out of the ashtray. I think I was, like, kind of a weirdo.
Well, that's what... That was my point about how you like having non-conformist things, but being them intentional. Because wearing a trench coat is not just non-conformance. Is not just non-conformity.
Conformity? It's, conformity? Conformity?
Yeah, I don't for know me, what the fuck that word is.
Non-confirmation?
Cookie monster?
Cookie monster? Cookie monster has a good haircut.
That's true. It's just cookie.
Okay, finish your statement about my trench coat, you motherfucker.
That was not my fault! Okay, fine. No, the Tresco is a perfect example, in my opinion, because it's very non-conforming, but it's very obviously non-conforming. It's not like you were like, oh, I didn't give a shit, and I accidentally put on a trench coat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a purposeful action. And I love that trench coat. I still have it. I mean, it was great. I could put... I actually got in, like, some of the seniors that I, like, lived in the same hall with, like, saw me outside smoking a cigarette and, like, in my trench coat. They were, like, asking me, you know, how, and I got to... I struck up a conversation with them, and, like, you know, I like, pulled a 40 out of my trench coat because I could fit a 40 on some malt liquor in my jacket, and they were like, holy shit. And I actually like started hanging out with them, and we went and like did dumb shit in the woods and stuff like that, and it was because I was like the guy in the trench coat. So I liked my trench coat. It wasn't an affect either. I'd been wearing it since high school. I mean, it was like my fucking favorite article of clothing. But I also knew, like, I knew what it was, right? Like, my dad even called me Dylan Klebold when I used to wear it. He'd be like, what's up, Dylan? And I'm like, fuck off, Dad. Don't say that.
You dropped the purple baseball cap, though.
Yeah, I did. I reached a point in my life where I was like, I am an adult man, and I do not need to be wearing a baseball cap.
Really?
I'm a grown-up, and I will not. Yeah, dude, literally. I was just like, I'm too old to wear a backwards purple baseball cap with Skeletor. I'm just like, I'm a grown-up now.
I swear that the first time we met, I don't know if I ever judged the trench coat, because I judged you so hard on something else. In class, Suede would answer a teacher's question and keep swearing, and the teacher would keep calling him out, and then after that, whenever he started swearing again, he would say, oh fuck, I'm sorry, and then be like, well, excuse me, because he swore twice in order to apologize. And I was like super judgmental about that. In my head, I was like,
it was a class guy. I was nervous in too. That was what it was, because if I'm not nervous, I won't, like, I have good control over my language. But like, in this, like, setting with all these people I didn't know, and, like, I didn't have, like, a shtick, I didn't have my things to say, right? Like, at the bookstore, I have complete control of my language because I have a script that exists in my head. I remember you in that class, you would never do the work, and the teacher would call on you, and you would not even try to hide that you hadn't done the work. You would just, like, be like, until the teacher, like, fucking, like, until the professor, like, just moved on to someone else.
Suede, one more question about haircuts. You don't like people touching your hair, right?
When I was little and my mom would try to wash my hair, I would, like, black out and try to punch her. And so she had to, like, feed me gummy bears to, like, keep me still. Otherwise, I'd, like, scream and thrash around when she'd try to wash my hair.
Okay.
And so Celine put a bunch of eggs in my hair and then a bunch of soap in my hair, and then it, like, started running in my eyes down my back, and she was, like, washing it, and her hands were all over me. I started, like, freaking out, and, like, I disappeared for a few seconds, and then when I was back, I was, like, standing swinging my arms back and forth while Celine was, like, kind of running away. And it was like I was, like, fucking six again. So she knows, she doesn't put stuff in my hair anymore. I don't like it. I don't like it when they put it in my hair. Just water and soap. That's
good
enough.
Dude, I kind of feel, you know how the book We Need to Talk About Kevin, the kid, mm-hmm. has like signs of like killing everyone in school? The fact your dad still yeah. calls you Dylan Klebold, maybe that's how they felt when you were younger.
No, they thought I was a weirdo. Well, my mom has labels for it. She's like, oh, he has sensory issues, this and that. Oh, yeah, and giving me a diagnosis.
That's true. You guys have labels. You think we need
to... I don't have labels. That woman puts labels on me. I am labelless. I'm a god.
I can't believe you blacked out so fucking much as a kid.
It's not that often.
Dude, I'm just telling you, a life without blackouts, holy fuck, what a privilege. When I listen to your stories, I thank my lucky stars and not you.
I know you've gotten blackout drunk, you douche. There have been events that you don't remember that I do, where you've done something fucked up. Where you've, like, said something you shouldn't have. Then in the morning, you're like, oh, fuck, did I say that? That's a blackout!
That's different. You know why? Blackout drunks are never actually blacked out. They're just drunk enough to pull it off so they can forget that they did anything wrong.
That's, like, literally not even true, you asshole. You... I hate you. We're enemies. This podcast is over.
So I brought a film called Atlantics, and it's by the French Senegalese director Madi Diop, who, I mean, I guess you can say she's kind of famous in circles of African cinema, African art. But actually, the first time I really was wow, Madi Diop, this is someone I want to remember in my cinema viewing stuff, is not even for her directing. She was in Claire Denis's 35 Shots of Rum. Basically, that movie is quickly just about a dad who has to watch his daughter kind of leave him, despite their incredibly intense, not sexual, but very highly intense relationship of love.
You mean like she kind of stops being her like
baby little girl?
Baby little girl.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that sounded some DDGL shit. I'm not talking about that stuff. No,
it's
just
good. It's good. It's good. I love it. Baby little girl. Oh, my baby little girl. She's grown up.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point because it's not that. Yeah. It's like super like subtle and like nothing said. But there is this one fucking scene that like blows my fucking mind. It's one of my favorite fucking scenes in the entire legacy of films. The dad dances with his daughter to a really like pretty upbeat song, and it's like super nice. And then Night Shift by the Commodores comes on. It's the song they wrote when Marvin Gaye was killed. And it like comes on, and the boy comes to dance with her, and the way the dad sort of just nods his head, gives the girl to the boy, and then stands in the corner and watches them dance while they dance incredibly like kind of too tenderly, but also not really. Fucking one of the best fucking movie magic scenes I've ever fucking seen in my entire life.
What is it about that scene
so
that gets you
fucking
going?
Good.
What is it about that scene,
it's
though?
It's so sensual and an emotional experience. Like, it just dries out all my fucking emotions all at the same time. It's like you recognize where the dad is coming from, where the daughter is coming from, where the boy is coming from. The song comes in, the way they dance, the way the dad can't dance with them. It's just so many different types of emotions that like feel so confliction. There's tension. It all fucking like jams into one another. And it's like, I don't know. I fucking love that scene so much. Also, the other thing I like about Maddie Diop is that we're mole buddies. We have moles in the same areas of our
mole
eyes.
Mole buddies?
Yeah, we're like mole soulmates.
You're mole mates.
Yeah,
you're
at
mole
the same
mates.
Place. My mole is on my left eye at the right corner, and Maddie Diop has a.
Do you think she'll be on the podcast, maybe? We can get her on the podcast because you guys are mole mates.
I'm too embarrassed to. It's like asking a girl out. I just wanted to splurge a little about how much I fucking loved her. So
about your mole mate. You have a mole on your belly also. Do you think.
Yeah, that's just not true. But if she did, I would.
You don't have a mole on your stomach?
No.
Why did I think you have a mole on your stomach?
I don't know, the same way you thought I had blue hair.
I could swear. Are you sure you're not lying to me about this, that you don't have a mole on your stomach?
I don't have a mole on my stomach. I don't know what the fuck that is.
He's actually lifting his shirt right now, and I can see it. He's lying to you, internet. He's lying to you, podcast people, podcast listeners. He does have a mole on his stomach.
I don't have a mole on his stomach. I don't know what the fuck Sweet's talking about. Sorry,
he
guys.
He does. He's lying. He's lying to you. Yeah, if you're going to watch a movie, do it with moles on. Do it with a mole on if you're going to watch a movie. Do it with your moles out. If you're going to watch a movie, do it with your moles out. He sounds so disappointed.
I just felt enormous sadness overcome me that I didn't go to the same school as Maddie Diop and we could have like did cinema together.
You could have been like, oh, my name's Walter and I'm studying in Senegal. Oh, I love your mole. It's just like mine. Do you want to go swimming?
I have never studied in Senegal. What the fuck
I know.
Is wrong with
I'm
you?
Saying you could be studying in Senegal with Dia.
No, she studied in France.
Well, then you could have been in France, you fucker.
How come she couldn't have been in America?
Walter, I don't know anything about this woman. I assume she studied in Senegal.
No, yeah, I get it. I'm just saying, like, if we were in the same university, it doesn't have to be. It can be in Antarctica. I don't give a shit. Any fucking university in the fucking world.
Oh, we're in Antarctica. We're so cold. Let's rub our moles together.
Yeah, she's only 5 years older than me, too, so that's why.
So she's what, like 40, 47, 48?
She's actually not 5 years. She's like 11 years older than me. I fucked up. She was, you know what? She was 5 years older than me when I watched 25 Shots of Rum, and that's the only fucking version of her I remember. 35 Shots
you just
of Rum,
this
sorry.
Idealized movie version of her. You're like, oh,
yeah, I
she's
this
perfect. She's so
beautiful. Idealized movie version. So I brought Atlantics. The film has a bit of Ghost in it. Basically, a bunch of boys go into the ocean to try
to... What do you mean, go into the ocean? Like, they're just, like, swimming across the Atlantic or something?
No, like, on a boat where they, like, you know, they get on the boat to try to go to Europe, something like that.
Do you mean, like, one of those, like, refugee boats that are, like, super dangerous? Or,
yeah,
like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think yes, that's exactly. Just... I think that's just, like, emigrating. You emigrate from a place and immigrate to a place. So they're emigrating from Senegal. They tried to. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but they all died. So they kind of come back as ghosts and then, like, haunt the place using the woman they've left behind.
Which place do they haunt?
Senegal.
Okay, they're haunting Senegal. Okay.
Yeah, because the reason why they left is because they have, like, their life in Senegal was not the best, and they want to leave to get a better life, right? So they're haunting everyone who gave them not that great of a life in Senegal. Kind of complicated film. Like, you can talk about women, you can talk about emigration, you can talk about colonialization and all that.
You talk about
stuff.
Ghosts?
You can talk about ghosts, exactly. But I want to talk about oceans.
Okay. I'm down, because I'm terrified of oceans. I think they're super freaky.
That's super cool to me, because in this film, there's just this ocean sound all the fucking time. There's a lot of shots of the ocean. Obviously, it's related to the ocean, because these people died in the ocean. And I think, historically, it makes sense that there are places like Senegal reveres or has respect and a little bit of fear for the ocean, okay. Especially with the history of the transatlantic slave trade and today's thing going on with the mass emigration. I'm kind of fascinated about it, not to say that, oh, Hong Kong history is exactly the same, but we live right next to a fucking ocean. I feel like Hong Kong people don't have that same respect, fear, spiritualism to the ocean. So you said you were scared of oceans. So I want to hear it, because you're not even fucking near an ocean.
No, so I'm scared of most things, but I don't like the ocean. It's deep and it's full of things I cannot see. And I cannot live in the ocean. It makes me uncomfortable how deep it is. There are things in there that are big and scary. I think it was because I watched Jaws when I was really little and kind of like left me with some anxiety. But just in general, it's like kind of a freaky, like it's so unknowable. It's like space, except I don't have to worry about space because I can't get to space, but I can get to an ocean. And I also don't like boats. I don't like how they feel when you're standing on them. It makes me feel uncomfortable. So the idea of like being on something that I don't like being on in the middle of something that could kill me is totally freaky. It's like a plane.
Okay, so this is not about you being scared of oceans. This is about you being scared of anything.
No, because I'm not scared of mountains. I'm not scared of cats. I find that the ocean is uncomfortable, right? I mean, how, like, what would you do if you were just floating out in the middle of the ocean?
I mean, I'd probably die. Wait, can you swim?
Yeah, I can swim.
And I don't mean this question like, oh yeah, I can play basketball when I ask you to play basketball and all you do is fucking hit people.
I can swim. I'm not a great swimmer, but I can float and I can tread water for a little bit. Being underwater is what freaks me out, because I love playing in the ocean. I love, like, you know, splashing around on the beach. But, like, whenever I'm underwater, I'm afraid there's something behind me. When you're, like, in a pool and you're just, like, standing, it's not that freaky because, like, you know there's not anything under
you. That's not called swimming if you can't fucking dive.
No, I can do it. It just makes me uncomfortable. I can go underwater. It's just, like, being underwater freaks me out because it's, like, there could be something in there that I can't see.
So individual fear of the ocean is fair. I get that, because I also have a scary moment in the water. Back when I was really young, Hong Kong has a lot of islands around this peninsula where you can go out and just fucking dick around and do nothing on like small boats. And you had to take a smaller boat to get onto the beach, and then everyone would drop off. My parents wanted to go back on the boat and asked me if I wanted to, and I didn't. And then right after they left, my brain suddenly was like, I want to go back. Instead of waiting for the boat, I swam to the boat. And it was the hardest swim I've ever done. I was choking in water nonstop. The water was super salty, but I made it. It was about a 20-minute swim of just fucking rapid fucking, and I was exhausted.
Yeah, that's long. I think I've done some, like, I've done some swim from one side of a lake to the other. I've done some, like, 10-minute swims. I've never done, like, a 20, 30-minute swim. That's a lot.
That's true. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little. Maybe it was,
yeah, like, dude, 20 minutes is like an episode of SpongeBob.
That's fair. That's right. But I wasn't watching SpongeBob, so I couldn't use SpongeBob to time.
Dude, it was probably like three minutes.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was probably like 3 minutes, and I just thought it was 20 because of how hard it was. Yeah, but I was super scared that whole swim.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know. All I'm saying, though, is that individually, I get it. But, like, I think it's kind of funny that, like, Hong Kong doesn't have that sort of spiritual element to the ocean. Maybe you're thinking right now, like, okay, Hong Kong, Senegal, completely two fucking different places. I think most countries that have seas around them actually have that spiritual element to them. If we want to go close in Asia, Japan, these places have a lot of spirituality towards the ocean. In like the Scandinavian countries, the Vikings.
There's a big relationship with the ocean for the Polynesian folks. I mean, there's a lot of, basically, if you are close to a significant piece of nature, it's gonna find its way into your beliefs in some way, shape, or form. Especially because this is before we have like the modern dogma of science to tell us like, oh, the ocean is like a salty thing and it's a sciencey science thing, right? It, like pre all that nonsense, like you're just like interacting with something that's like so much larger than yourself. It's of course you're gonna develop strange beliefs around it. I mean, the ocean is extra weird because you can't see the end of it, right? Like, the ocean could just go on forever unless you have someone to prove otherwise.
Well, that's, like, the crazy thing about it, too, is that, yeah, science comes in and proves you that people are dying not because of a mermaid comes out and drowns you. You drown because you're tired. But science doesn't take away the fear and confusion.
No, of course not.
That stuff still translates from that spiritual time we're talking about where we...
Oh, see, I think it's gods. Animal. I think it's really much more animal than it is spiritual, the anxiety around the ocean.
What? I mean, I don't know why that's an interesting division to draw.
My only real distinction is that I think spirituality is like contextual. When someone is drowning in the ocean, it doesn't matter if you're from Polynesia, Micronesia, Rhodesia. It's not called Rhodesia anymore. It's called Zimbabwe. I was just rhyming. You know, like the Yucatan Peninsula or whatever, or like Sweden. Everyone is going to drown in the ocean, right? Like it's not a, they're, you know, in the same way that like, you know, everyone is scared of drowning. Not everyone is like scared of like, you know, the shadow ghost.
I guess what you're trying to argue is that spirituality is not universal, while animalism or whatever you called it is.
Okay, so then what about biological?
Want to say either of them are universal?
What about biological fear? Is biological better?
No. Okay, you know what it is? It's that I think fear makes it sound like it's just fucking negative. But that's not what it is.
Okay, so you're not talking about fear. You're talking about something else.
If you're going to argue biological fear is universal, I would argue spirituality is universal in the same way.
Can you define spirituality, though? Because is spirituality like... Because when I say biological, I mean like something that's like an autonomic response. Something that's like, you know, like a biochemical... I'm going back to science, right? But something that's like inside you that maybe we're talking about the same. Can we call it the sublime? Do you think that's fair?
That's fine. Yeah, the sublime is fine, too.
Because spirituality to me is like... spirituality looks different in different places, so it's hard to make it universal. But this like this thing that is outside of human comprehension is like the sublime is, I think, much easier to understand.
That's fine. I am talking about the sublime, really. That there's this fear and a mix of emotions and something outside of your understanding that you have to restrain.
It's so much bigger and more complicated and larger than yourself that you can't understand it. So you just have to respect it. You just have to treat it.
You have to use a type of tool to capture it. And I think most people use spirituality as the tool to capture that.
Okay. I don't know if I agree with you, but I don't know if that's how people understand. I mean, I don't understand the ocean that way.
No, I'm not talking about everyone understands the ocean the same way. I'm saying that people use spirituality to capture the sublime a lot of the times. They use spirituality.
Oh, yeah, no. That is true. That is true. I think that is definitely.
Okay, true. Yeah, I'm not saying that spirituality is how everyone deals with the ocean. No. First of all, I think you deal with the ocean differently than like someone who fucking lives next to an ocean because you talk so much about being landlocked.
That's right, landlocked, baby. Yeah. Landlocked Roanoke. Roanoke is landlocked. It's Virginia's not, though.
And I think there are some things that you would recognize it a little more. You said you're not scared of mountains. Well, I think that's not completely true. And you might not recognize it as fear or animal instincts anymore because there has been so much experience and so much... I mean, you don't want to use the word spirituality, right? So, but there's like a method that's outside of science and logic that tries to contain the mythos and the power of mountains.
Right, I know how to deal with mountain. I know how to deal with the mountain. I have like rules and systems that have been practiced that like teach me how to deal with mountain. If you had to be like, hey, walk up this mountain or swim across the ocean, I would be like, I'm gonna walk up the mountain because I know I could do that eventually. There's no way I could swim across the ocean.
That's why I kept talking about the spirituality of it. Of course, I think there's a sublime that even in Hong Kong you can face when you look out into the ocean and go, whoa. But I just don't think people in Hong Kong give anyone the right tools to talk about that sublimity. One of the reasons why I was fascinated with the lack of spirituality with the ocean is because I do think Hong Kong has a very interesting culture with the ocean, which has a lot to do with colonialism too. A lot of Hong Kong people went to do the gold rush.
Right.
A lot of Chinese immigrants came into Hong Kong, got on boats, and left. And we have that history here. We have a super good Russian borscht, does not use beets, uses tomatoes instead.
Okay, okay.
We have some really nice ox tongue that tastes like corned beef. Our Portuguese baked pork chop rice tastes more like curry than whatever the Portuguese are making. We've come back with a type of legacy where some of our restaurants make food that people learn to make while they were on the boats of these ships to go to America. So it fascinates me that we don't have the same history. We don't have a little bit of it. I did talk to my dad about it. And okay, let me make this very clear. My dad has a lot of takes where he brings out from the butt middle of nowhere. He thinks it's because most people died in the gold rush, not because of the ocean. So we're not so scared of the ocean. And number two, he thinks it's because Chinese land was so fertile that like we never had to go out to get resources or use the ocean to do it. But maybe now that you talked about it, maybe it's like customs. And my mom and dad always tell me this story. So my mom's dad swam to Hong Kong. Hong Kong had to deal with a lot of illegal immigrants from China. And you could always hike mountains and get to Hong Kong. Or you could take a boat, get really close and swim while the coast guards are like shooting at you.
Right, right, right.
Most people would choose the boat because the mountains were still so dangerous. You could easily get lost. Animals could attack you. That you would still prefer to just fucking swim like a massive amount of, you know, when the turtles hatch on the beach and then they have to like run to the ocean not to get picked
by
seagulls.
Yeah, they're like epic struggle to the water. Yeah, yeah. It's like super brutal.
It's pretty fucked up, but yeah. But my grandfather survived. My grandfather survived. I also don't even know if they were actually picked off by guns. Maybe they were just like captured. Who knows? Maybe I shouldn't paint Hong Kong's history so brutal. Our oceans are painted with red and blood when it's like
oceans,
actually just bloody oceans. Hair and skin flakes. Yeah, but no, that story itself might be what I'm talking about.
Yeah, your relationship to the ocean. When your grandfather conquered the ocean. And what was your grandfather's name?
I don't know.
Poseidon. God of the water. You don't know your grandfather's name?
No, I don't know my grandfather's name. I actually don't know any of my grandparents' names.
What's wrong with you? You're such a terrible grandson. Even the grandmother I met?
No, I know her name, but that's because she has an English name. None of the others have an English name, and I never remembered their Chinese name.
That's crazy to me, Walt. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
I don't know my mom's Chinese name.
I don't know how to interact with that because, like, I can't imagine that this is... Okay, would your brother know these names?
No.
What about your little sister?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, but so this is abnormal, right? What you're saying, that you can't remember these names?
I believe so, but I haven't actually... This is, like, the first time you brought this up that I, like, thought about it, so I'm gonna have to, like, ask around, and then I'm gonna have to, like, get back to you on that.
Oh, that's crazy.
I mean, it sounds crazy, but at the same time, in my head, I'm kind of like, why would you need to learn the other name? You don't know my Chinese name.
Yeah, but you don't know either name. That's the problem. If you only had one name...
Well, I call them... Grandma, grandpas. So I've never had to fucking figure out their name, except in Chinese. That's all. I call them Ye Ye, Mama, Po Po, and Gong Gong.
Isn't your Chinese name like Wu Fong or something? Or like Wei Wei Fong? Or
is
like-
this because my English name starts with a W, so you just think it's WW?
No, you told me it once. It was like Wu Fong or something.
Dude, it's Zhen Fan Gong. It sounds nothing like Wu Fong.
There was a W and an F in there.
Where the fuck is the W? Zhen Fan Gong.
You're right, there's no W. But there is an F.
You know what that is? There is a ching, 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 ching sound.
Jesus Christ. No, because like, you know, there's an O-N-G. There's a ong.
Dude, you said Jesus Christ, but what you're saying now is not that different from me saying there's a ching, 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 ching sound.
No, I said it was Wu Fong, and say your fucking name one more time.
Zhen Fan Gong.
Gong, it's the ong, it's the O, dude, it's the O-N-G.
Oh, I'm telling you, it is super fucking different in Chinese. I'm telling you, you are making a ching-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, ching-ching-chong-chong fucking comparison right now.
Just cancel me. I am telling you. Just cancel me. Walter's canceled me. Just cancel me. And I still can't remember what your name was, so maybe you're right. Maybe it's just hard to remember. Because I don't think, I could just say, it's Gong. Gong is in there.
Yeah, you know, that's why you know Mao Zedong fucking crazy person because
you can remember his name.
Okay, do you think my Chinese name is similar to Mao Zedong's Chinese name? If you're talking about the Ong.
Yes. It's that O-N-G.
No, I get it. In English, it makes sense. In Chinese, it's just like, my name is the farthest fucking way from Mao Zedong's name.
But then the sound is the same. Doesn't that matter? The O-N-G? Whatever the O-N-G equivalent is? Or is it not like that?
We have so little sounds. Most things sound the same. I mean, it happens in puns a lot. That's why Chinese is such a punny joke language. That's why I tell you that like Chinese is like unfunny in America. Like if you listen to Chinese people make jokes, it's like completely unfunny. It's just pun, 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 pun.
I have a friend who's been wanting to be on the podcast. So I'm gonna go grab him real quick. Give me 1 second. Terry, get over here. What's that? All right, I'm going. Yeah, come on, Terry. All right. Hey there, folks. My name's I'm having some trouble speaking today. My name's Terry, Trailer Man Terrence. And I love me some movie trailers. And I thought maybe we'd sit and jaw a spell about A24's new movie trailer, Men.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, Wilbur. What is it, Wilbur?
Thank you. My name is Walter, but that's
fair. What I said. Wilbur, right? Wilbur?
That's fair. That's a fair name. It's kind Morris? Of a, at least you're doing it in English while Suede's one was more racist because he mixed up my Chinese.
Suede is a pretty terrible racist. He does not understand cultural sensitivity in the slightest.
But I'm very happy you're on the podcast. I have not seen this trailer.
It's fantastic. This young British woman, her dang old husband seems to be dead. Done killed himself in a. She goes off into a jolly little retreat, and all the men. They keep blaming her and they want to get her and it's real right and scary. And here's what I have to say about this damn their trailer. What is it about the British that makes them so dang old scary? So dang old scurry.
I haven't interacted with trailer people as much as I would like, but is it because you guys don't like tea?
First of all, I'll choose to live in a trailer on account of how much I love trailers. I don't even watch movies. I only watch the them their trailers. That's why I live in a trailer, young man.
Okay, I was about to say, why the fuck do you care about an A24 film?
Because I love trailers. I love trailers. I don't watch movies. I'm too busy. I got degrees in semiotics, robotics, and a gin and tonic. That's a little joke. That's a little joke. I like my gin and tonics. But I live in a trailer on account of I love them so much.
So what about this trailer did you like besides the fact that the British were scared of tea? Or that you were scared of tea.
Really, I love tea. I love me a oolong. A nice little bit of oolong, you know, something good like that. This trailer ramps up the anxiety by first having all these men kind of ignoring and lacking in understanding of this young woman, just like kind of speaking over her, being dicks, you know, mansplaining and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden they start dang old chasing her and screaming and making scurry faces. It goes from political and social to something spooky. And you know what? I think I might have to watch this movie. I can't even get that one out because I only watch trailers. But I might. I'll say I'm excited to watch the trailer again. Maybe there'll be an extended one for me, Terry, Trailer Man Terrence, to watch.
I'm excited for you.
You're excited for me, Walbur?
I am very excited for you, Trailer Larry.
Oh, son, my name's Terry. Terry,
oh,
Trailer
sorry,
Man.
Sorry, apologies.
Terrence. Yeah. Do you watch trailers? You like trailers, Terry? You watch them?
Yeah.
You like what's your favorite? Time. What's your favorite movie trailer?
Well, I would say perhaps Men was a good trailer.
That's right, my boy. You're a chip on the old block. Thank you kindly, Willis. I enjoyed being on this dang there podcast. Next time I see another good trailer, I'll have to stop around. You keep it easy. You keep it easy, Walrus, all right? I'm going to go. All right. Sweet, I'm done with the podcast bit. I'm done with the body. Oh, you're done? You're done? Okay, cool. Awesome. Thanks, Terry. Here, 1 second. Oh, excuse me, Terry. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, Terry was really excited about that bit. About that.
No worries. Really I think the issue is that I don't know enough about this culture.
Maybe we'll learn about Terry. Maybe next time he comes on to talk to the podcast, we'll learn a little more about him.
We could learn more about him, or maybe I could get good and learn more about white trash culture.
I don't think Terry would appreciate that. I think Terry would find that hurtful. I think Terry would find that a hurtful statement. I don't think can call someone white trash if they have degrees in semiotics and robotics.
Okay, that was actually another fucking issue. All the words he was saying were not words I use. So I didn't actually understand 70% of what he was saying.
Maybe next time we'll have Celine, because Celine's met Terry. Celine does not like Terry, mostly because she always loses to Terry in chess.
I would love to meet Terry again, but I just gotta train, you know, go on YouTube and listen to some hip hop.
Yes, exactly. Listen to some hip-hop. Shout out Tin Mini. Not really. He's a bad man. He's a bad man who makes bad music for bad people.
Speaking of accents, though, the movie that you wanted to bring, I couldn't find a version with subtitles, so I watched that film while not understanding 80% of what the fuck they were saying.
Wait, and are you serious?
At the end of that fucking movie, they came out and they fucking, like, actually talked like regular fucking people, and I understood everything they said. They on purposely made it incredibly difficult for me to understand what the fuck they were saying.
Dude, it's because the animation makes it so you can't read their lips. You were probably reading their lips a little bit when they come on at the end.
Oh, do you think I don't understand sounds and can only understand lips?
No, they have a thick accent. It's easier to understand accents when they're speaking the same language as you because you can see their lips move.
I did not know that.
I mean, I don't know if that's like some, I don't know if that's like true. Fucking, is that a label my mom gave you, you motherfucker? You couldn't understand what the characters are saying in this movie. No, I mean, this has just been my experience. Like when someone has a thick accent from basically anywhere, it's like way easier for me to understand them if I'm looking at them because I can kind of read their lips a little bit. It's why it's harder to like understand cartoons in general. Okay, so last episode I said I was going to be talking about the new Batman film, 2022 Robert Pattinson Batman, and I did see it. I actually snuck in the theater. I tricked the theater people into giving me a free ticket. No joke. I'll probably talk about it when we do the episode. It was great. Fucking awesome. One of the best Batman movies I've ever seen. There's like a lot to it though, so I'd rather watch it in a place where I can take notes if we're going to do it, so I'm going to put off doing it. But I want to say for our 50th episode, or our 25th episode, I don't know which, we're going to do a Batman-only episode, and I'm going to bring 2022 Batman. And
wait, are you dragging me into this? That's right, I'm dragging you in.
You surprised me about my birthday, and now I'm surprising you about the 25th Batman episode. Motherfucker.
Oh my god, I love Batman so much, help me.
We're doing it now. And if you don't, you know what? If you don't do it, you know what you are? You're a nerd.
I'm going to bring the Christopher Nolan Batmans. That's what I'm
That's fine. Say. I'm ready to shit. I'll shit on it the entire time.
You couldn't even do it last time.
Yeah, but that was because we're not supposed to shit on movies in the podcast.
No, you can't call movies bad. Like, you can shit on movies. I just don't like it when people call something, like, bad, because I think it makes a label.
That's right. No labels. Dude, there's, like, so much Batman media out there.
What if I bring Batman Rule 34?
Like, you'd have to find a film.
Mary the Succubus Batman Flash game, where he fucks Meru.
No. You could bring Arkham Asylum or something.
I'm going to send that animator message right now and ask about
a feature-length animated Batman porn
with
game.
Meru the Succubus.
It was really good though. It was a good movie. Fucking star-studded cast. Zoe Kravitz I think is being canceled because she's like said something about Will Smith, and then everyone like dug back into Twitter and was like, oh my god, Zoe Kravitz used to talk about how she wanted to fuck 14-year-old Will Smith's son. So that's a thing that's apparently going on. I hope they don't cancel her forever, because I think she was a very good Catwoman and I would like to see her in the next Batman movie. I have a friend who we're going to get on the podcast one day, and she said that she's officially demoting America's favorite light-skinned black woman from Zoe Kravitz to Zendaya.
Dude, I thought Zendaya was like 14, so I was like, that's ironic. And then she's actually 25.
No, yeah, she's like a grown-ass lady.
She just looks 14. So that's ironic still. It's the Timothée Chalamet back at it again with their pedophile-looking celebrity faces.
Good movie. Watch it. I saw it in theaters, double-masked it, so I wouldn't give any of my family members COVID from all the fuckers who are sitting in the movie theater. Batman 25th episode.
Batman makes everyone bat crazy, baby.
That's right. Ooh. I watched Yellow Submarine by the Beatles, which is a favorite of mine, a childhood favorite, as well as an
adult favorite. I don't know if it's by the Beatles.
Okay, it's not by the Beatles, but it's like about the Beatles. It's like, it might as well be by the Beatles. I think I want to talk about it from two different contexts because it's an animated musical. And so I want to talk about it as a musical and as a cartoon. So the animation style is like very interesting because it's flat in a lot of ways. There's not a lot of shadows. And when there are shadows, they tend to be in the background, not on the characters themselves. And a lot of thick, hard lines. And it's sort of similar to Monty Python's Flying Circus in some elements. But it also, you know, it's like a 1960s, you know, psychedelic film. So it's pulling a lot from a lot of surrealist painters, right? So if you spent any time looking at people like Dali or Hieronymus Bosch, it feels very similar to that. He's kind of like strange, macabre, surreal. I mean, it's called surrealism, you know, like a lot of really surreal imagery. There's very little of it that's like realistic. Okay, so the plot, right? The plot is that there's this place called Pepperland. It's like great and peaceful and full of music. And then these shitty monster boys come and they're called the Blue Meanies and they start destroying everyone and their music. And so this one dude escapes in a yellow submarine to find someone to save the day. And they find the Beatles. And they're living in London. And London is like very drab and dreary and gray. With the exception of the house the Beatles live in, which is again very psychedelic. But so when they go through the submarine to Pepperland, they go through these different seas that are all like totally strange and like filled with like the first one is the Sea of Monsters, and it's just full of all these like strange shape fish, you know, like, and like boot monsters that are shapes of boots, and it's like totally whimsical, totally strange, totally nonsensical, right? And so the reason I want to sort of hit on ahead how psychedelic and nonsensical it is the dialogue, on the other hand, is like totally different. And Walter, you said you couldn't understand it, which is too bad, because, you know, a lot of times when you watch stuff that's like super weird and surreal and stuff like that, the dialogue will go along with it.
I actually caught up on that. I actually was slightly annoyed about it too. That's why I felt like I couldn't understand it double, because like these Beatles were basically fucking serious the whole time.
I don't think they were being serious. They were being deadpan. It's different. There's this, I think the exemplar bit for like how this dialogue functions is based in puns, right? We talked about puns earlier. So Ringo and the guy who fly the submarine come into the Beatles' house, and they're walking through a door, and they come to this Frankenstein monster. And Ringo turns to the Frankenstein monster and goes, "Oh, Frankenstein, I used to go out with his sister." And the submarine guy looks at him and says, "Oh, really?" And he says, "Yeah, her name was Phyllis." And so there's a pun right there, right? Like Frankenstein, Phyllis Stein, like Philistine, Philistine, like someone who's dumb.
So that pun was just too above my level. Like I would never, even if I understood that fucking line, I wouldn't have got it.
Okay. And then there's a lever next to Frankenstein, and he goes over and he looks at it. And he's like, "Oh, I'm going to touch the lever." And the other guy's like, "I don't know if you should do that." And Ringo goes, "Oh, I have to. I'm a born Liverpooler," with his like accent. Like, I'm a born Liverpooler.
It sounds like Liverpool.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's filled with all of these like really down to earth jokes. You know, another one, they're like, one of the Beatles is trying to fix the ship's motor, and he's like looking around and fooling with it, and he like presses a button and it shocks him. The guys are like, "Oh, what's wrong with it?" And he goes, "Well, I think it's broken." So there are all these like very like simple, kind of like goofy language based jokes that push against this like deeply weird, I keep saying psychedelic because I hate the word trippy. It's one of my least favorite words because it is meaningless.
What about smegma?
Can you explain to me what those words have to do to each other, please?
You were just talking about words you dislike.
No, I think smegma is a good word. I'm pro smegma. I think it's a good word.
A lot of people don't like smegma. I love
smegma. That's true. Do you mean like the thing?
No, the word. I think it sounds good. Really like hot. Like if someone said, "Touch my smegma," I'd be like, "Not bad, okay, not bad."
You gotta stop.
You just said you like the fucking word.
I do, but not everyone else does. We have to keep this palatable for the listeners, you fucking asshole.
Okay, sorry. Apologies. But I understand your trippy point. You know why I understand it? Because I hate having a conversation with someone when they call someone nice.
Yeah, because it's kind of a meaningless statement, right?
And I think it's mean. I think it's mean. I think it's like, "Oh, this person is so uninteresting. That's why I can only call him nice." I mean, I swear to, like, literally think about anyone who's been called nice in your life. I swear to God, I think they're calling them nice because people are finding them uninteresting.
Yeah, that's true. You're either saying someone's nice because you don't really have much else to say. It's like a placeholder.
Yeah, and I would say trippy has that same power. It's like a placeholder that you can, like, say, and then you don't have anything interesting to say.
I hate the word trippy because it's basically like, "Oh, it was like a drug trip." But, like, everyone's experience on drugs is totally different. So it's a meaningless statement. It would be like, yeah, dude, that was like such a blue experience. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking? No, that's not even right. That's a dumb metaphor I just made. I hate the phrase trippy. But psychedelic, right, is like surreal, lots of colors, evocative of like a certain kind of art, you know, like psychedelic music, psychedelic rock, psychedelic posters, you know, so it's everything psychedelia in this movie. And also it's very surreal and strange. And it's added to that by how flat all the images are. And so it's like very weird to look at. But then you compare it back to all these like normal pun-based language jokes. And you're like, okay, this is great. So I really love that push and pull. There are more goofs that are really good. There's another section where one of the characters says, time is a 24-hour job. That's pretty good, right? Because it's like, goes for 24 hours. I don't think your humor is really like this, Walt. You don't like jokes like this necessarily.
Well, I didn't bring it up last time about the Batman thing. Funny is such an interesting critique because it's so hard for me to think of things as funny being a benefit for everyone. Humor for me is so subjective.
Yeah.
And I find myself in the boat of not finding things that are considered very funny, funny all the time. For example, Monty Python. I don't find it funny at all.
And I don't love Monty Python myself.
But I do think puns, the things you were talking about in that movie, are like interesting. Like, it makes me excited to like pay more attention to it because I'm like, oh, that would have been like such a cool joke if I caught it.
Right. There's another bit where there's a monster that's like sucking them up, and one of the beetles goes, oh, he's gonna suck us into oblivion, and then another beetle goes, or even further, right? Like that, you know, like these are like almost like Marx Brothers type jokes, right? And I think so. I come at jokes from a perspective of a writer usually, and I think there's a structure to these jokes that is very different from like the jokes in the Batman, right? Like the humor that is in Yellow Submarine has to do with the way the lines of dialogue are structured, with the characters binging off each other. It's one that you have to be able to hear. A lot of the jokes are not going to be visual gags necessarily, or if they are visual gags, they'll be enhanced by the next line. I don't think you can do that in a cartoon with boring visuals. I think you need something strange going on in the background for when you're not doing the kind of like bordering on cheesy one-liners.
I may have found the movie more funny if I actually understood it better, because, you know, my favorite comedian is Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah, I would say Mitch Hedberg is not far from The Yellow Submarine. It's not exactly the same.
If Mitch Hedberg was standing up and I wasn't having my bias against the Beatles per se, right? Like, if Mitch Hedberg delivered that joke, I probably would have laughed.
So I would say it's a successful cartoon if we want to talk about it as a mechanical object. But I want to talk about musicals, because it is also filled with Beatles music. I have a soft spot for musicals. Not all of them, but I do love a few. Do you have any that you can like think of that
I
you
love really musicals. Care about?
Oh, yeah. Really?
I love musicals. I love Jacques Demy, French New Wave musical director. Umbrellas of Cherbourg. What's that face?
Even the musicals you like are pretentious. I was about to like rattle off some normie ass musicals I like. Not this like, oh, I really like this like sort of like you know, Filipino New Wave.
I didn't say Filipino musical. New Wave.
Dude. I know. I was coming up with an example.
Dude, French New Wave is not that pretentious.
It is. I mean, that's just not true. What do you mean? French New Wave movies are like plotless, like sit there and like look at the colors while characters like,
it's not pretentious. Jacques Demy's is not pretentious.
Okay, so musicals, right? Musicals kind of come in two varieties. There are musicals where the singing happens on screen at an appropriate time for singing to happen, and there are musicals where the singing kind of comes out of nowhere but is about the plot, right? An example of the first one where the singing happens at appropriate times, Glee is an example. Or sing. When the characters sing in that, they're singing at appropriate times. They're singing when they're supposed to be singing. And so when you interact with the music, it's like fun because you get to listen to it and it sounds better than they would just be singing on a stage, right? Like there's like music in the background and stuff, but it still like makes sense that it's there. And then you have movies that are like The Sound of Music or Fiddler on the Roof, that the singing kind of comes out of nowhere, but it's about the plot. There's no sections in The Sound of Music where they're just singing a song. Either they're singing a song to each other, or they're singing about what's getting ready to happen, or they're singing like to people, right? There's context for why the singing is happening, either because it's a moment where singing is appropriate, or because the singing is being contextualized through the plot.
Just so you know, I do love normie musicals too.
Yeah, me too. And I don't love all of them, but Sound of Music I grew up watching.
And I really love Fiddlers on the Roof.
If I was a rich man,
and we were talking about 35 Shots of Rum, the way he has to give up every single one of his daughters for something he is more and more against.
Yeah, obviously exactly.
Done in so much more drama, but like that type of emotion when I watched Fiddlers on the Roof on the first time. I watched a student play version and it blew my mind. The students sucked. I'm fucking telling you. They were like the worst fucking actors I've ever tried. But the plot was so fucking powerful.
Oh no, it's a great I think like more so than a lot of musicals, the plot of Fiddler on the Roof is what makes it so good. Because there's so much pathos and there's so much history. The reason I want to talk about this is because Yellow Submarine is weird.
Yeah, it doesn't do either.
Yeah, well, sometimes they're singing and it just doesn't quite make sense as to why they're singing, right? And the songs will have, like, vague connections to what's going on, right? So, for instance, when they sing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, which is, you know, classic Beatles, psychedelic, sort of, like, rock song. And they're at the foothills of the headlands. And so there are all these, like, which is another language joke. And there are all these, like, giant human faces with the brains out. And you can, like, see all this crazy stuff. And so, like, they're singing about a drug that, like, affects your brains and makes you hallucinate. When they bring the submarine through the sea of time, they sing When I'm 64. So it'll have vague connections, but the music comes out of nowhere. And I was trying to think about why it's sort of like this. And then I realized, like, all of these songs are written before they turned this into a movie. So it makes sense that some of the songs aren't going to quite make sense as to where the, versus where you listen to Nowhere Man. And Nowhere Man makes sense because they're singing about the Nowhere Man. So it makes for this, like, weird kind of dissonance between, like, the plot and the music. And I think one of the issues is if you don't really love the Beatles, the musical sections are not going to jive with you if the visuals aren't your thing either, right? So, for instance, I don't like the scene where they sing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds because it's boring. And part of it is because I don't really like that song.
Dude, that's my favorite scene.
Really?
Yeah, because I thought the visuals were the most interesting.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
Also, I like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, you know?
Yeah. I see, that's one of my least favorite songs.
Yeah. You know, that scene kind of reminded me of Belladonna and the Sadness, where that huge animation montage came out and was like, what the fuck is going on? That Lucy in the Sky Diamonds felt like proto-Belladonna Sadness montage.
I think there are a lot of parallels between the two. I think they are similar in the way they play with the cartoon as a medium, right? It's like when you watch Frozen, the visuals stay consistent. There's never a change in art style. But in both Belladonna of Sadness and Yellow Submarine, there are art style switches, right? So, for instance, the Sea of Monsters is very much like Hieronymus Bosch, all these, like, weird creatures. If you don't know who Hieronymus Bosch is, and I'll tweet some pictures.
I thought it'd look more like Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, but Dr. Seuss is shaded in a way Hieronymus Bosch isn't. Hieronymus Bosch painted these wild scenes of heaven and hell that are just, like, absolutely surreal to the max, super freaky, and
no,
also
I
like
get that, but for me Hieronymus Bosch, the reason why it doesn't feel the same is Hieronymus Bosch feels very crunched up, right? It's very hard for me to imagine that
that's true,
that mural, without them being like right next to each other, so you feel this like ickiness of too close.
Yes, Hieronymus Bosch's work is claustrophobic.
The way that scene of like the monsters and stuff, there were like mountains in the background and then singular weird characters standing around, that's like very Dr. Seuss to me.
Do you think it's close to Dali? I was also getting Dali vibes.
I don't know. I told you for me
it's like Dr. Seuss. But so there is this like very weird sense of styles, and exactly what Walter's talking about, these like strange multicolored monsters against strange multicolored backgrounds. And then when they're traveling through the Sea of Holes, it goes to like an M.C. Escher style painting where there's like all these holes and the characters pop in and out of them from different directions, kind of like creating optical illusions. And the art style totally changes. Belladonna of Sadness is, I think, much more of a serious movie. It interacts with some uglier content, but it does so similarly, right? Like a lot of Belladonna of Sadness is really drearily done. And then you have some of the really rough sections where it's these like really violent, kind of like intense dark colors and these really like sharp drawings. And then it goes to some of the sexual freedom elements of Belladonna of Sadness. And you get these like crazy sort of like flowing, beautiful, highly sensual images, right? You know, the change in art style is one of those things that I think makes the cartoon both more engaging to watch and also sometimes not as successful of a cartoon, right? Because if you just want to tell a story, changing an art style can make that complicated. It's actually why I stopped reading, for anyone who is a comic book reader, I stopped reading Walking Dead when they started changing artists monthly. I was like, the sense of aesthetics is wrong. You're trying to tell a story and now I'm thinking about the pictures. Do you like the Beatles or do you not like the Beatles, Walt?
I think it's more like, I don't really find it that interesting to talk about liking the Beatles anymore. I don't find that conversation very interesting. I will say too that I don't really like Abbey Road. Fuck it. Here's what I would say. There are a lot of things about the Beatles that I like, and then a lot of things I don't like.
Well, no, I think that makes total sense. And in part, it makes sense because they went through so many aesthetic changes, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
The Beatles do not have a consistent sense of style because of how drastic their music changes. I feel similarly. There are Beatles albums I love, and there are Beatles albums I don't really listen to. And I will also say, I don't like put on the Beatles in the same way I would put on the music I really like to listen to. But for instance, I was working on D&D stuff. I was like writing plot and like character descriptions and stuff like that, and I was sitting outside and my mom wanted to come sit outside too, and I was listening to The Sword, quality stoner metal, fantastic shit, and my mom does not like The Sword and the songs they sing about wizards because she's lame. And my mom was like, oh, it's fine, I guess. She's doing like the Jewish mom thing. She's like, yeah, it's fine, you can listen to what you want, I wish you would play something we both like. And I was like, oh my god, fucking. But I didn't want to put my headphones on because I was enjoying the sound of the outside too. So I was like, what do we both like? And I was like, oh yeah, we both can listen to the Beatles. So that's what the Beatles is usually for me, is like, it's good music for a group of people, because even if they don't like one song, there will be a song on an album they like.
The other thing about the Beatles though is that I do think some of their songs are very like Yellow Submarine, dude. I don't think that song is that different from The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round, Round and
we
Round.
We all live in the Yellow Submarine. The so, Yellow like, Submarine.
I think they have an underrated submarine. Amount of songs that sound like The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round. And if I catch you listening to The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round at this age in life, I would actually think you're pretty fucking cool.
So what you're saying is that Yellow Submarine is a great song.
Yes, because I love The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round, but I have never listened to that song seriously in my room, like, put it on and was like, time to listen to The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round.
So I will say, I think Yellow Submarine is not an amazing song. I think it is kind of a children's song. I think some of it is also that Mr. Ringo is like the main vocals in that song, and he's like not great at singing, even though I like, so for instance, he also wrote Octopus's Garden, which I love.
Dude, that's also another song that I have. Dude, this song sounds like fucking Wheels on the Bus Go Round.
Yeah, it totally does. It totally does. But I really like the lyrics, you know, if I could be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade, are you kidding me? That's like fucking great. I love that.
I'll say this though, once I started listening to Velvet Underground, I kind of just fucking stopped listening to the Beatles completely.
Yeah, but see, the problem with Velvet Underground is if I put on Velvet Underground while I was sitting outside with my mom, she'd get annoyed.
Your mom would get annoyed by Velvet Underground?
Yeah, that's probably. She's like very particular about the music she likes. You know, my mom's side of the family is European. They're first generation. They came from Germany to escape the dank Holocaust and all that.
Dude, what does your dad think of the Beatles?
He's okay with them. He doesn't love them, but he doesn't talk smack about them because he knows my mom will get upset.
Does he like Velvet Underground more?
My dad would much rather listen to Velvet Underground. Are you kidding me?
Dude, that's the two forks.
Wait, and it's weird though, because he loves psychedelic rock. So like he loves to put on Dandy Warhol. I think my dad just like has issues with the British.
No. I love a lot of music influenced by the Beatles too.
When I grew up listening to the Beatles, like that, like some of, like not all of the songs are like comfortable to me in the same way, but like some of them, like for instance, Abbey Road is very comfortable to me. Like when you put it on, I'm like, I remember being in car trips and listening to this, like being like 8 years old and like hating that I am stuck in this car and like wishing my mom would buy me a Game Boy, but knowing that's never going to happen, and just like listening to the Beatles and being like, I'm so bored, you know, like it's comfortable in a way. And this was one of the first movies I rented from, Yellow Submarine was one of the first movies I rented from Blockbuster that my mom was like excited for me to watch. We went to the dollar store and they had this stuff called Screaming Yellow Zonkers, and they were basically just like caramel and candy coated popcorn with like peanuts in like a big box. And I remember getting those and then renting the, because we never could, we couldn't afford at the time to like get the candy and snacks from Blockbuster, but we could go to the dollar store. And so we went to the dollar store, and then we rented Yellow Submarine. And I remember watching it, and it's like I had turned off all the lights, which like my mom had rarely done for movies. I remember just like blowing my mind, like it was the craziest thing I'd ever seen. It was a sublime experience. Like there are sections of that movie that I remember making me uncomfortable as a child, but also like coming out of it like just being like, I love this fucking movie. And watching it now, I don't feel that way. I liked it, but like it holds a very special place in my heart. It like kind of blew me out of the water when I was little. Does anyone remember Screaming Yellow Zonkers? Fucking send us an email if you remember this.
I really did have fun with the film, though. It was, despite the fact that this film and Barney are not that fucking different because they both use child songs.
There's only one child song. It's Yellow Submarine. Are you kidding me?
I love you. You love me.
Dude, are you kidding me? You want to know the pathos in fucking...
Clean up everybody, everywhere.
Dude, there's so much pathos in Eleanor Rigby. Are you kidding me?
We're on an adventure. Sailing adventure.
When I'm 64 is like that too. When I get older, you're losing my head.
I mean, dude, I like Barney songs. You just haven't caught me listening to them, that's all.
Because I remember you singing Barney songs when we lived together. You'd get super drunk and be like, let's do Barney, let's sing a Barney song.
Yeah, you know why? Because you said the Beatles are comfy. The Barney was the thing comfy to me.
So weird. So deeply.
Why? Weird. Barney was so popular. I love Barney. Barney's
nah,
great.
Dude, I grew up thinking Barney was lame. Even when I was little, I was like, that guy's a nerd. And my dad would be like, hell yeah, and we'd high five.
Then why were you both watching it together?
Because it would like come on and we'd be like, change the channel, this sucks. Or we'd be like, usually it would be like on PBS before the Saturday morning cartoons were on, and I was like up and already awake, so I'd just like watch it until it was time for Yu-Gi-Oh or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You know, I will admit that I didn't realize how embarrassing it was to watch those kids shows. So my sister got into the Wiggles when she was like 2, and me and my brother were like super excited to watch The Wiggles with her because we had so much fun with it and enjoyed it. And then I invited a group of friends to come over one time, and my sister was like, I want to watch The Wiggles. And I was like, yeah, let's watch The Wiggles. Let's all watch The Wiggles together. And one of my friends was like, what the fuck is this baby shit? And yeah, it suddenly clicked in my head. I was like, wait, this is not cool.
Arthur was like that. Arthur was like that. Even though like Arthur's fucking legit as shit to watch now, like,
yeah, but Arthur is different than the Wiggles and Barney.
No, but it's I mean, it's one step up, right? Like, if you were like 13 and watching the Wiggles, people would make fun of you mercilessly. If you were like 15 and watching Arthur, people would make fun of you.
But if you were 25 and you were watching Barney, people would still be making fun of you. If you're 25 watching Arthur.
Do you remember when we used to watch Barbie Dreamhouse?
Dude, that was a good show, though. It's so fucking magical and so it's
so weird. And you can suck on their boobs, right? Remember, you can... You fucking...
I don't suck on Barbie's boobs. I don't suck on Barbie boobs. I never did that. I just want to know that. I just never did that. Our old co-host that we thought we lost, Catherine, I think after she had to go back to her real life and do work, we stopped talking. Almost never talked.
I actually talked to Catherine. I talked to Catherine a lot, just not with you. We had some sort of like normal secret conversations.
Not a big deal. Not jealous. Not jealous. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. Everything's fine. I'm not mad. I'm not getting ragey. Catherine said she loves our titles of our films and that she wants to listen to more of the episodes because she's missed a few. Also, Catherine did say that she thinks I have no idea what spices are.
Yeah, it was pretty good. We were texting and Catherine was like, Walter, what the fuck are you talking about? And I've yet to have any one person in this conversation agree with Walter. So if you, especially if you are like from Hong Kong or China or like, you know, Central Asia, just like weigh in, just like say if Walter's right, because if Walter's right, I'll cut my toe off.
Cheryl has also, or another one of her old guests, have come out and said she believes in spices.
Oh really? I didn't see these messages.
Yeah, she said she sent them to me. Oh, Catherine sent some messages to me that you didn't see either, just so you know.
Oh no,
I don't see the email messages, by the way. I don't get to see email messages, so we have to read them out on the podcast.
There aren't any, so don't worry. Send us emails, dang it. I'll just quick shout out Roanoke local. NDE Bruin, one of my favorite local customers, has started following us and listening to the podcast, and mentioned the last episode where we were pretentious assholes and talked about judging people, and they were like, yeah, I knew it. And I was like, no, not you. You're one of my favorite customers. You buy good books. You're one of the good ones.
So we apologize for being judgmental.
Well, I'm not judgmental. Almost everything that they buy, I try to make sure we get two copies because usually it sells.
I'm fucking telling you, though. Everyone thinks they hide their judgmental and pretentious as well. They don't. They don't. They don't. They
dude,
don't.
Dude, I do. I'm so fucking good at it. Are you kidding me?
No, dude. Everyone knows, man. You know why? Because if you had a conversation with someone about a book that you were not pretentious about, your conversation would be like, I'm so excited about this and this and this. Wow, everything is so fucking exciting. Everything's so fucking exciting. But that's not what happens. There are things about a book conversation that can make you not excited.
That's
especially true. Especially when it comes from very specific people. And those people are not stupid. They're just not going to challenge you.
Yeah. I'm just so terrible.
No, dude, I want us to be proud of this shit. Fuck off. Stop hiding your fucking crap, dude. Speaking of last episode too, remember I was talking about the Matsumoto figurine?
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter if you want a picture of it. Colors are not faded.
No, there is. I was pretty surprised. And it's weird to me that you went to Rengoku Matsumoto, because there are so many good female characters in Bleach. Like, I really like Orihime is like kind of a damsel in distress, but I really like her bits. She's like got a lot of funny jokes. But you have like really badass characters like what was her name? The cat lady?
Yoifon.
Yeah, no, Soifon is not who I'm talking about. Soifon is the lady who learned under the lady who turns into a cat.
But they're all like weird, right? Like, you can't fetishize Nell because Nell starts out as a child, even though she grows up into this big boob beast of a woman.
Yeah.
Rukia is fucking annoying. Rukia and Orihime are literally the opposite size of corn, but they're the same annoying.
I like Rukia. She's one of my favorite characters. She's a little edgy in the beginning, but once she gets done at the beginning, she gets pretty awesome.
I liked Rukia more in the beginning than like when she starts getting saved. Like, when she comes in and, like, has to deal with Ichigo being a dumbass.
Rukia is not great when she's a damsel in distress, but once she stops being in the damsel... So, in the really early beginning and then post-damsel in distress stuff, I think she's pretty awesome. Because I've read all of it.
You know what it is about Matsumoto, though? Matsumoto has big, big MILF energy out of everyone.
Yes, that's true. Well, and Yoichi.
And Yoichi, yeah. We don't even know if her name is Yoichi right now. We're just
she's the one who transforms into the cat.
Also, she feels taken.
Yeah, by Soifon, right?
No, not Soif. Okay, that is fun, too. That lesbian chemistry was fucking great. But no, like, the guy with the hats.
Oh, Mr. Hat and Clogs. If you didn't understand any of this, send us an email, and we'll never talk about Bleach again.
If you didn't understand any of this, follow us on Twitter so at least you can see the fucking hashtag not washed up.
Hashtag Nashtwad out boobs. Oh, one more piece of liable. By the way, I googled Sarah Michelle Gellar, and she is not right wing. She was like pro Hillary in the last election cycle.
Okay, Hillary is right wing. Hillary's right wing. Hillary's
no, she's not. She's like moderate left. She's moderate left, you dumbass.
She is not left at all. She is not left at all. She's not left at all.
She ran on the Democratic ticket. She's moderate left.
The Democratic Party is not left at all. It's not left at all.
It is left for these. It's normie left. What do you think? She's going to be a fucking card-carrying communist? She's going to be fucking, like, Stalinist tanky or some shit? No.
Dude, there is a lot of space between Stalinist tanky and the fucking Democratic Party.
She's not a Republican. She's not a right-winger. She's literally not a right-winger. She's, like, literally a left-winger. She has left-wing
You know,
politics.
I will say, I think the reason why I called her a Republican is because when there was a lot of white women getting caught voting for Hillary Clinton and revealing that they were kind of, you know, not very good people. That was before we caught all the white women voting for Trump.
I mean, voting for Hillary compared to Trump was the correct choice.
Yes, of right? course. I mean, of course.
It should have been fucking Andrew Yang. I wanted that man to be my president
Yang gang,
so bad.
Baby.
Yang gang, what's up? Free money, free internet money, what's up? Andrew Yang is my dog. Andrew Yang, if you want to be on the podcast, I'm down. You will be on the podcast. You can bring whatever movie you want.
He might actually come.
Everyone who listens to this episode, tweet at Andrew Yang. Say, be on this podcast, my boy, Andrew. You know, if you don't want to follow us on Twitter, that's fine. Twitter's, like, lame. I don't actually have a Twitter. I just do Faithful Fans Twitter. But if you want to share this episode with other people, or really any of the episodes, that would help us out a ton. That would help us get the cheddar, get the cheese. and let me escape from my parents' upstairs basement. That's right, I said upstairs basement.
In the end, like, we just, if our community grows larger and more of you guys send us stuff, we'll have more fun with it. We'll reference it more. You guys are part of this podcast too.
Yeah, especially because half of the people who listen have been on the podcast.
And half the people who have been on this podcast no longer even listen to it.
Yeah, right. But we love all of our listeners.
Send us some stuff. We'll go on tangents about Bleach or whatever.
I think really there's only one thing left to say, and that's if you're going to watch a movie, be sure to do it with the lights off.